Finally, two hosts your pets can relate to. It's Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
I'd like to be under the sea.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, that was absolutely a fascinating conversation. And I've got to say, if you were looking for an interesting company to do research on, Biota might just be one of them, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, really. That I think it encapsulates one of the things I'm most fascinated with in the marine ornamental field is that, you know, back in the 80s, and Lee, I'm going to bring you back to your time. It was it was just the challenge to keep these animals alive. I can remember many a frustrating times and days when I would look at a marine fish, and it was happy on Thursday, and by Sunday it was not so happy, and you know, it's been the journey of learning more from others, understanding how to use a microscope, and sharing information and conversations about what does it take to do it right. And it just happens to be around 1990 that the internet became more and more relevant and prevalent, and as a result, a lot more information got shared. And I've always been a person that feels that most of our failures as humans centers around ignorance as opposed to avoidance. It's not like we wanted to kill any of these marine life animals. It's just that we didn't know how to do it better. And ever since that we've had the opportunity to share information freely, we've really done a better job. And honestly, the aquarium trade has really been the forefront of why we're successful even at a scientific level of studying reef ecology. And that is, reef tanks only happened as a result of private initiative. That they're the ones that were then teaching public aquariums on how to properly keep a reef tank. And it's just, I'm so proud to be part of that whole energy.
Well, and I think a part of it, Rick, as we talked about prior to the show, is really the learning curve that everyone goes through, because the truth is there were people who were buying certain fish that are kind of hard to keep.
Sure.
And they didn't really know it at the time. I remember a Nassau Tang that we had that was a beautiful fish. I was very drawn to just the beauty of the fish, but they are hard to keep. And I was asking you, I don't see as many, and you were explaining the reason why. Why don't you explain that to our listeners?
Well, so back in the 80s, we would look one fish at a time. It looked fascinating. It looked colorful. It was bright. There was nobody telling us not to buy it. There was rarely few people that would tell you not that, that wouldn't want to, that would say you can't buy it. But the reality is that many of those animals, as we've learned over the years, are either inappropriate for captive keeping. I'm thinking about it's a sea slug called the Spanish Dancer that always died, and you never see him in the hobby now, but would commonly come in because nobody told the collectors not to collect them because they were so gorgeous. And so today, fish like Nassau Tangs, it's not that we don't sell Nassau Tangs, but every Nassau Tang that's going out the door is no longer going into a 55-gallon aquarium. You know, somebody's going to have a 200-gallon aquarium, 300-gallon aquarium that's going to go in. So the amount of Nassau Tangs that should fly out the door because they make a perfect pet are a whole lot less. Hey, your dog's there, Lee.
Oh, yeah. He's always paying attention.
All right. So other fish, you know, like the clown trigger you were asking me about. Well, that's a pretty aggressive fish. So people would try to put him in a mix in an appropriately sized tank, but they would start causing trouble with all the other fish mates. And so we now, I would say it's a complete reversal of the fish species, or a complete change or transformation that of the fish that you tend to see in the aquarium trade. most, if not, you know, most of the marine animals are going to be these reef-oriented animals that if you had a 90-gallon aquarium, they would do just fine for the lifespans that they would usually have for, you know, maybe a decade. They would just be fine, as opposed to a fish that you put in a 90-gallon tank and it really needs to be in a much larger environment, and you just don't see those reef animals or people even buying those reef animals like they used to.
Right. Well, it also seems like people got wise in terms of recognizing that sometimes simplicity is a really good way of maintaining your tank, and an orange clown may be a relatively common marine fish, but man, they are great in terms of the ability to keep them, and they're just very sustainable fish. And there's a number of other relatively simple breeds that are still very pretty, but at the same time you can keep them alive and you can do really well with them for a period of years.
Yeah, what's interesting about the clownfish, he's probably the poster child of why captive rearing makes a whole lot of sense, is that even though many marine fish animals can come from the ocean, do quite well, and prosper in captivity, that was one due to a particular disease called Brucanella that would be commonly troublesome at the retail level, because you'd want to sell somebody clownfish, but you would have problems bringing them in, and they would have health-related issues. Now, very few, if any, clownfish come from the ocean, because collective or captive breeding of these clownfish are happening not just in institutions like Biota that we heard from, but from, I have customers that live 10 miles away, 100 miles away, 50 miles away, that are all breeding various types of clownfish by the hundreds. So they don't have the Brucanella disease issue, and they do very, very well in captivity. So there's a place for captive rearing that has really made the fabric of marine fish keeping a much better, safer, successful mission. And then there are those types of fish species that, if caught sustainably, will probably continue to come from the ocean.
Right. Well, Rick, let me ask this, because I'm thinking that by virtue of the reefs and essentially the protections that they provide for fish, because there's lots of places to hide and to protect themselves, is that also a part of what's making it easier for these fish to live longer than they used to? Because I used to joke with you that all we pretty much had back in the 80s was we could put a plastic plant and a rock in the tank, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, you're right. So what I like about reef tanks, as opposed to fish-only tanks and fish tanks like we did in the 80s, is that back then we were trying to make a biologically safe tank, something when you put the fish in there, it didn't die because the water chemistry was good. And what's unique and fun about a reef tank is that it's the way to go to making an ecologically sound environment that's growing the very things that some of these animals need to naturally graze off of. It's growing a much more diverse amount of organisms that can filter the water, like for instance sponges that grow within a reef tank can really filter down particles so small that it's even hard to imagine them existing in the tank, and that's actually filtering the water so that it's a healthier ecosystem. You've got animals that are growing and prospering as a result of the light and the circulation, and then we test the water parameters. In a fish-only tank, nitrates are a common indicator of the health of a reef tank or a fish tank, and nitrates in a fish-only tank would be sometimes off the chart. And when we're talking about a reef tank, commonly there's no nitrates showing up. We're, instead of measuring 100, 200, 500 parts per million, we're measuring like 5 parts per million or 2 parts per million. And it's just because the environment is therapeutic in and of itself. And so I'm a big proponent for reef tanks, or if it's not a reef tank, it's a fish-only tank that incorporates some of the very dynamics of the ocean, for instance, live rock, so that the ecosystem is complete for those animals and they prosper and do well for for decades in many cases.
Well, and I'll tell you what, Rick, from listening to what you just said, it sounds like for the last year where we've had students sitting at home because they couldn't go to school, that, boy, would a wonderful aquarium be a great teacher to have at home, because not only can you learn a whole heck of a lot about science, about the natural world, about the various kinds of fish that exist, but you also can enjoy the beauty of it, the art of it. Just there's so much to gain and so little cost. Comparatively, it seems like even if you are going back to school, parents might consider one of these aquariums for their children as a great way to educate them for the future.
Well, with that being said, Lee, you know what time it is.
Oh, we've run out of time again. But unfortunately, that's all we get. So on behalf of our producer, Grant LaFave, and Rick Cruz, my co-host in the studio, this is Lee Cohen wishing all of you a great weekend, a great week ahead. We'll talk next weekend on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. Meantime, will you all please, please take good care of your pets and have a great week, everybody. Stay safe.